Well, here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
Motel rooms in New York City are at a premium, and if you aren't careful, you could end up paying $400 or more for a room with no power or no phone. Details in the travel news.
That sounds great. Our mailbag is overflowing with your questions. We've got everything from canceled tickets in the hurricane to airline lost and found. We'll get you some answers at 2:20.
Consumer reporter Ed Perkins is with us to explain his take on frequent flyer and hotel guest programs. After 2 weeks of listening to experts, we let Ed have the final say at 2:35.
And finally, at 2:50, you'll have the opportunity to call in and win some free food, compliments of the Cheesesteak Factory. Details later in the program.
All aboard. It's time for this week's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man,
king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the roof, 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
You bet your sweet Bippy, huh? All right. Brandon on the controls, Julie manning the, or girling the, I don't know, what do you say, the phones? I'm Tom Romano in studio. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation, where he should be, on the road. Welcome, Mark. I guess we can only kind of hint as to where you are.
I didn't tell. I'm out finding interesting places for, I have found an interesting place for our sports leisure travelers to travel to on our, each year we do a mystery tour to a destination near Christmas. And our trip this year goes in a couple of weeks. Of course, I can't tell you where it goes, but we have to be prepared for next year's trip. So I am here in an unnamed place, actually two unnamed places today, checking out some wonderful things, places for us to travel to. Just came down from Boston, connected in Newark yesterday, so that was kind of an adventure. As you fly over New Jersey, you can see that it looks very much like Minnesota. Lots of lakes all over the place.
And not necessarily lakes that are supposed to be there?
No. I'm afraid those folks, we were up about 5,000 feet when we went over the Jersey shore, but I'm afraid that, I had a window seat, and I'm afraid a lot of those folks are not going to be rebuilding anytime soon. Some of those areas are just pretty much not existent anymore. So that's going to be a little bit of an issue. Up further north, though, they just had a few power outages, and things were back to normal. And we've got a couple of updates on things that have to do still with the hurricane. But it looks as though by yesterday, the airports were all up and running and had been for 2 days. And I talked to some folks as I passed through Newark, and most of them were people who were scheduled to travel that day. So it appears as though most of the people who were trapped, at least domestic people, have gotten where they were going. They're still dealing with some backlog at JFK, I see on the news wires today, but they expect to have everybody where they need to be by tomorrow, which is good because the next storm, I think, is on the way next week.
All right. Well, I'm guessing that you might have a couple of items in the travel news for those that that might be traveling in the near future that'll be helpful. So let's, without any further ado, I think you called it the Tom Romano Trio last week when I wasn't here. I was flattered. Well, anyway, Brandon, bring on the band. Mark, what do you have for us in the travel news?
Hey, listen to that story. Remember that story where the seats were coming loose on the airplanes?
I do.
Well, the FAA...
Don't tell me didn't happen again, did it?
Yeah, well, no, but the FAA has recommended that airlines examine 11 different types of seats because they may have been installed incorrectly. Those seats came loose on flights on at least two American airline planes in late September and early October. The airline, however, says it doesn't have anything with them being installed incorrectly. The airline says dirt and spilled drinks help create gunk that gummed up the hardware designed to lock the seat legs to tracks on the floor of the plane. Crews installed extra hardware on nearly 100 planes. I guess that means two things, Tom. One is that the seats could come loose again.
Yeah.
And I can see that the day is not very far away when the airlines are going to hand you a wet wipe as you get on the plane, and you're going to be responsible for cleaning the underside of the seat that you're throwing.
There you go, and your drink will come in a sippy cup.
Speaking of American Airlines, after a couple months with some embarrassing delays, they have made an interesting offer to their flyers. They are offering double miles as a way of apologizing for recent delays and cancellation. The airlines announced the offer under its A Advantage program on Friday. One will run through December 31st, the other one to Thanksgiving. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. If you are just a regular American Airlines traveler, you are going to be able to get double miles on all of your travel from November 16th through the 26th. If you're just a regular old passenger, you're not an elite passenger in any category. But if you're an elite customer, you've earned at least 25,000 miles last year or this year, you will get double miles through the end of the year on all of your American flights. And, of course, the kicker for folks who listen to the travel guys and know the difference, you will also get double elite qualifying miles. So if you fly with American Airlines or you're thinking about flying with American and you're close to obtaining some elite status, there is a rare opportunity. There is also the possibility that other airlines, in order to keep their customers from booking away from American, might next week announce that they will match this program. So keep an eye out. If you're getting ready to buy an airline ticket, you might want to wait one extra day, because sometimes airlines only consider tickets that are bought after they announce the promotion. But anyway, if you're on American, there's a good deal coming.
Yeah. Now, is there any kind of a trick or suggestion for someone like myself who's already bought a boatload of Thanksgiving trippage?
No, my friend, I'm afraid you're just out of luck. And the other thing is, American is saying this double miles thing is for November 16th through the 26th. They are counting tickets that you've already purchased.
Yeah, okay.
So because obviously people at this point would be paying a fortune for travel on the 16th of November. However, if the other carriers match, they may very well match in a way that says, well, not so much for tickets you already have, because after all, we already have that business, but we might give you double miles if you bought a new ticket. So that just might be where that ends up. Anyways, your next vacation destination might be North Korea. They've been working on a brand new 105-story hotel in the capital of North Korea, Pyongyang. I think I'm saying
nice.
That.
Nice. You did well. Correctly. I think that's right.
Yeah, they've been building it for 25 years. It will open its doors for the first time early next year. It'll be run by Kempinski, which is a international hotel group. But before you think that you might be able to go to North Korea, like you can kind of sort of go to Cuba, maybe not so much. The hotel chain says that they see no sign that it's going to be open to the general public at large. They said, quote, this is not going to be one of the hotel chain's biggest earners. It may be more symbolic than anything else. And shifting to stories about the hurricane, the Statue of Liberty, we told you last Sunday that it had opened after a year closure to remodeling. Well, it was open for Sunday. It closed Sunday night, and it will be closed for the foreseeable future. Some pretty horrible flooding on the island. Fortunately, the statue itself came through the storm unharmed. However, Liberty Island and Ellis Island, where millions of immigrants once arrived in their quest to find a better life in the United States, have sustained water damage, and there is no power on either island. The grounds are apparently flooded, and it appears that the underground, all of the electrical outlets and everything on Ellis Island may have been damaged. So it may be quite a while before folks can return to those landmarks. So if you're going to New York City, you can still get a boat cruise and go by the statue and take your pictures, but you won't be able to go on Liberty Island for an indefinite period of time. And if you're booking a hotel in New York City, use your cell phone to call the hotel. Don't surf the web. Some really weird situations are going on, Tom, that you know, normally you would just go on the internet, you'd find whether it was from a Priceline-type website or a hotel website, and you'd book a hotel and go. Well, you see, because the power's been off, many of the hotel websites are not updated, and many hotels are being offered that aren't actually available, or the hotel rooms may be available, but there's no power or no phone service within the hotel. So you've got to be very careful if you're traveling to New York City in the next or New Jersey in the next week or two. My strong suggestion to you is that you have a hotel reservation before you leave, because hotels have suddenly become non-existent in that area with so many people displaced and out of a home. Hotel rates have skyrocketed higher than they even normally are, and hotel rooms are just non-existent. And indeed, power is coming back on Manhattan Island yesterday and today. So this issue will go away within a matter of days. But for right now, if you're traveling to New York, why you want to, in the next couple of weeks, why you want to make sure that your hotel has power and things of that sort. I have a group that I'm taking there over Thanksgiving, and I can report that everything at the Westin Times Square where we will be staying is just fine. Also, several national parks are out of action in the area. I mentioned Ellis Island and Liberty Island are down. The national park areas down around Battery Park in New York Harbor are all closed. Fire Island is closed. Governor's Island, which lost the dock and its buildings are under 2 to 3 feet of water, are closed. The Staten Island Ferry is back up running, but I don't think you're going to want to get off in Staten Island. Those folks have plenty of problems on their own, so you could go out on the ferry and make a round trip. Power is still out at Valley Forge near Pennsylvania. Trees are down and debris is scattered about. There's no significant damage, but it's going to take them another few days to get open. The national park sites in Washington, D.C. are back open. So if you're headed east, that's probably, and you're looking for sightseeing, that's your best spot. Shenandoah National Park in Virginia has hundreds of trees down across Skyline Drive, which is the 75-mile drive that goes through the park, and they won't be cleared for until the end of next week. So if you're visiting, you're going to national parks, or you're going to big cities in the East Coast, as we warned people last week, Thomas, it pays to do your homework before you leave home.
Well, there you go.
All right, a couple of other
great, great information. Thank you, Mark.
You're very welcome. All right, quickly here, a couple of things. The first Dreamliner flight was today, a round trip by United Airlines from Houston to Chicago and back. It made it on time. The Sistine Chapel is turning 500 years old this weekend. The airlines are trying to put extra flights in after the storm to get extra people, get people where they need to go, but they're having a huge problem. Why? Because of what we previously mentioned. There are no hotel rooms in New York for their crews to stay in when they bring them in overnight. So that has kind of made things a little tougher there. And here's a quick bonus. We talked to folks about making elite status and stuff like that. I know a lot of people in Sacramento fly Southwest Airlines. If you have never signed up for their frequent flyer program, they are offering a 1,000-point bonus for signing up, so you might want to consider joining that today if you haven't already. And that, Thomas, is the news.
Well, there you go. Okay, we're going to take a short time out. We'll be back and jump into the mailbag. Got some great questions. We'll put Mark to the task of answering them all here on the Travel Guys, coming up on KFVK.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Look at there, Carolina Travel Guys song. By the way, coming up in the last segment of the program, a chance for you to win yourself a $25 cheesesteak gift card. And what we're going to ask you to do is call in and tell us your trick on how to sleep on an airline. Everybody's got their special way, their special position. You be thinking about which one works best for you. We'll tell you when to call and your chance to win a $25 cheesesteak gift card. Ready to do the mailbag, Mark?
I am. You remember Ben Schlopik told us that he takes his hoodie and presses it against the side of the airplane. And so I'm eager to hear. We've got three gift cards, so we'll give you a signal. You can call and wait on hold now for 30 minutes, or you can wait, and we'll give you a signal to call a little bit later in the program. All right, fire away those mailbag questions there, Thomas.
All right, Sophie from Carmichael writes that she reserved a hotel on Hilton.com for a Hilton Inn. She was quoted one price, and then when she got the hotel, the price was $10 higher. Now, the desk clerk insisted that that she had to pay the higher rate, even though her confirmation indicated the original low one. It was late, so she just went ahead and gave in. What kind of recourse, Mark, do you think she might have?
Well,
she feels she's been ripped off. I can see why.
Well, she got had a little bit there, but she probably, considering the fact that it was $10 involved, probably did the right thing. You don't want to get into an argument with the desk clerk and end up out on the street without a room late at night, especially if you're a lady traveler and you're maybe by yourself. So I think she made the right call there. But if she goes to Hilton.com, she scrolls right down to the bottom of the homepage. She'll find a place that says customer support. And if you click on that, it'll give you an option to contact them by email, or it also says recent stay comments. gives you a phone number that you can call and ask for guest assistance. So call them, ask for guest assistance, tell them you booked it on their website. That's very important. That's the best ammunition you have. You booked it on their website. You have a confirmation that had the proper rate on it. So if all of that is in order, there's absolutely no reason in the world why the hotel won't refund your $10 and probably do something else for you for your trouble. Sounds like you have a open and shut case. Hilton.com and go to customer support.
Robert from Sacramento says that recently, well, he's heard that out at the Sacramento airport, they're going to close those economy parking lots at the airport. Wants to know, does this mean his only choice is going to be that $17 to park in the garage?
Ah, very timely and excellent question. The airport announced that they are closing some of the economy lot. The extra economy lot was put there when some of the lots near the old terminal were closed during construction. So they have closed off some of those economy lots that were never really supposed to be parking lots. If you parked out there, you know that it's a mess and it's becoming wintertime. You don't want to be out there in the rain. So they've opened back up the lot that is adjoining to the parking garage. You can park there for, I want to say it's $13. That would make it $4 less than it costs to park in the big garage, still more than economy, but kind of an in-between. And they will have buses picking people up there, or you can walk into the terminal or to the elevators to the new terminal from that lot. So, yes, they're closing part of the economy lot, but no, they're not closing it completely. And there is now a third option that kind of gives you an in-between price at the airport.
I parked in 40C, which is as far out in the economy lot over near the car rental places that you could possibly get. It must have taken a half an hour, and I'm hoping that's the one they're going to close. I think it is. All right. David in River Park writes, he had reservations to fly to Baltimore last week on a Monday afternoon, flew from Sacramento to Salt Lake City, only to find the connecting flight was canceled. Delta couldn't tell him when they could get him to New York City. They offered to fly him back to Sacramento, but said his luggage wouldn't fly home with him. Yeah, he took the offer and his bags came back 2 days later. Now Delta says that the entire ticket is worthless because he voluntarily started the trip. He wants to know if he's out his $482. Does he have a recourse?
Well, yeah, he does. He's right. He voluntarily started his trip. And I don't know whether he asked about the connecting flight before he left, but that's always something that I recommend to folks, especially in this day and age of everybody having a smartphone. You can go to the airline's website, and you can at least check on your connecting flight at that moment in time. Something may change, its status may change before you get there, but you can at least check on it that moment in time and find out if there are any issues. Let's assume that the gentleman flew to Salt Lake City with everybody had good intentions. If he flew on Monday, that was the day they were kind of closing down airports. He says he left in the afternoon, so I'm guessing he was getting into Baltimore late at night and the airport had been shut down. And, of course, the airport stayed shut down at least Tuesday, maybe part of Wednesday. So I certainly can understand that in New York he couldn't get anywhere to that side of the country for several days. And flying back to Sacramento, he also used part of the ticket. Here's the deal. David, you want to call Delta Airlines, wait another day or two for the dust to settle and people to have a day off who have worked 16-hour shifts for 7 or 8 days in a row, and then nicely call up. This is where you call up, and if you don't get the person that helps you, you hang up and you call back and get another person. And you just explain the situation, explain that you used part of the ticket to fly to Salt Lake and back, but you really feel that the other part of the ticket should be available to you to rebook. The airlines have been very liberal about this. I think that there probably was just some misunderstanding because of the circumstances and there was a lot of chaos. If you wait until things calm down, I'm sure that Delta will give you the Salt Lake, Baltimore portion of your ticket and back to Salt Lake, at least as a credit. And they might do a little bit better for that than that for you.
All right. If you sent us a question in the mailbags and we didn't get to it yet, you'll be listening to the program. We will do our best to get to all of them. If you have a question for the Travel Guys, go to travelguysradio.com. And, you can leave us a question there.
You all right. Can. You can see all kinds of cool stuff that we have up there, too. Things about today's program or just neat things to make you a smarter traveler.
All right, we'll get back to the program. We have Ed Perkins coming up on the backside. Ed's going to chime in on with his comments, huh, Mark, on all of that frequent flyer stuff that we've been talking about.
We are getting the expert, the man who was writing about frequent flyers before there were programs or points, and he is going to give us his opinion, which I think kind of will bundle things up very nicely.
All that coming up in about 6 minutes. Coming up next, Aaron Hates and the KFBK News. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK.
When I die and the name is rest.
Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations right there. I'm Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us. We have, as you know, last week, Mark, we did a show where we had a number of guests that were part of the frequent flyer party that Mark went to back east. And Mark was telling me earlier, we need to get Ed Perkins on, because Ed's been writing about travel practically before there were frequent flyers.
Before there were wheels.
Before the planes had wings. And wanted to have Ed chime in on some of the stuff that these people talked about and kind of wrap it all up. So I just made the call. I got Ed on the line. Ed, thank you for taking our call today.
Always nice to talk to you folks.
Ed,
thank you.
For those who are first-time listeners to the Travel Guys, Ed Perkins is writes for SmarterTravel.com, and did I get that right this time, Ed?
Yes, you did.
All right. And one of the best websites, travel websites for the average travel person who might be listening to this program, SmarterTravel.com, and Ed frequently writes there. And Ed, you've been, I was teasing, of course, before wheels, but you, as you told me before we started this today, you've been writing about travel since really before frequent flyer programs even began.
Well, that's about right.
And so I just thought that we had we've talked to all these people who have all these gimmicks. You know, one guy knows about how to churn the credit cards, and one guy knows how to buy the cups of pudding, and one guy knows how to use the credit card to buy gift cards at Office Depot to turn them into this or that or whatever.
And Summer, with mommy points, knows how to mattress jump and do multiple stays under one particular card. And
yeah, one of our guests made her husband change hotel rooms every night when he was on the road,
nights,
so he could get, you know, more stays. She runs that's Heather Hall, or who runs our Summer Hall, who runs mommypoints.com. But so, Ed, you've watched all of this evolve over the year. You've watched the programs be devalued. You've watched the credit cards come into the game and all that stuff. I would love to get your thoughts.
Okay, well, my thought about what kind of credit card you want, it's very simple, really. Depends on whether you fly a lot or if you get most of your points or whatever it is you get by charging various bills to a credit card.
Just quickly, define flies a lot.
Oh, I would say racks up at least, say 20,000, 30,000 miles a year.
Okay.
And the difference is this, that it's easy to pile up the points. It's very difficult to cash them in for airline trips.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting worse, not better. Now, the real benefit these days to the frequent flyer program is elite status. Because if you get up to one of those higher levels, and by now it almost has to be the second level, the gold rather than the silver, the benefits get to be incredible. And the biggest one, of course, is you're eligible for upgrades without using miles to available first-class seats on any flight that you fly, regardless of what sort of ticket you have. And the difference between coach and first class is immense. So that's really worthwhile. You get some other goodies, too, in terms of maybe better baggage allowances and stuff like that. But the main real perk of being a super frequent flyer is the upgrades that you can get.
Now, Ed, a couple of weeks ago in Chicago, there was one seminar where one gentleman named Steve, I think he goes by Bebo on the FlyerTalk.com. But anyway, he was one of the speakers, and he and Ben Schlopik, who's been a guest on this program, Ben is 1mileatatime.com, and Ben helps people get frequent flyer tickets. And so this one gentleman was saying, you know, look, I really don't think that this status thing is worth it on airlines anymore for exactly the reason you just stated, because you can't use the things for anything, or they you use your miles to upgrade because you're a gold level and they charge you an extra $50 plus your mileage. So was that really all worth it in the first place? And his point was that no, it isn't. Try to get yourself some status in a hotel on a hotel card, because after all, if you go on a week-long vacation, you will spend 10 times more time in the hotel room than you ever spend on the airplane, and isn't that more important to not get a crummy hotel room?
Well, I think that's probably right. And, of course, the other side of that is if you don't fly a lot, you're really better off with a credit card that gives you a cash rebate. If you can get the equivalent of 2 cents per dollar back as cash, that's a lot easier way to get trips paid for than by trying to use frequent flyer points.
Now, if I told you, Ed, look, but I've got all these frequent flyer points, I've got enough to get a big screen TV now. With 140,000 points, I can get a big screen TV. That's, wow.
Yeah, except that 140,000 points is worth $1,400, and you can get three big screen TVs for $1,400 if you go to Best Buy.
Thank you. My point, Tom, is that really and truly, if you don't spend the miles with the company that you've earned them with for the main intended product, i.e. Marriott hotel rooms, United airline tickets, whatever it is, then if you take that currency and use it to buy something else, you are not going to get good value. Agreed?
You get what amounts to a lousy exchange rate. Your points are worth maybe between 0.3 and a half a cent per each if you use them to buy merchandise. If you use them to buy airline tickets, they're worth at least one set a point, and depending upon how you use them, up to 3 or 4 cents a point. So it just doesn't make sense to use them for merchandise.
You know, a lot of what we're talking about, it certainly is something that if you're a business traveler, and any business travelers that are listening to our program today or any time in the past have really benefited from these kind of conversations, because they are in that 20,000-30,000 and way beyond that in regards to mileage, and do rack up lots of points and then do have lots of business travel to do this. The average family, those that vacation in most families today, nowadays, if you get to vacation twice a year, boy, you're doing great. And so, you know, here again, I think maybe a credit card that can help you out with some of your hotel rooms. But most of the time, those that sign up for cards and get points, they expire before you ever have a chance to use them.
Well, absolutely. And you've got these big credit card bonuses that are floating around out there, and it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that if United is storing around 25 and 50,000 mile credit card bonuses, they are printing money. So they are devaluing their currency, and it has surprised me, frankly, it hasn't happened yet, but I look for two things to happen very, very soon. One is the frequent flyer chart is going to be devalued. It's going to cost you 30,000 miles for the cheap ticket and 60 for the full ticket, or the 25,000 ones are going to become even tougher than they are. And the other thing that's going to happen, and I'd love to hear Ed's comments on this, is I think we're going to see a revenue-based frequent flyer program like Southwest has gone to from the major carriers very soon.
I believe exactly the same thing. Keep in mind that the foreign airlines that were new to the system and adopted their programs a lot later than American and United and so on, that they started out from the very beginning where mileage earning was based on how much you paid. And if you fly at the very cheapest fare with one of these foreign airlines, you may not earn any miles at all. I mean, that's the case, for example, on Lufthansa. So I think that airlines based in the U.S. are going to try and move in that direction.
And already we've seen Delta is already doing that. There are certain tickets on Delta and American now where you only get half of your frequent flyer credit or your elite qualifying miles because you have chosen to buy a really cheap ticket. So now you've got this quandary of literally they're making you pay for your miles. And the other thing that, Ed, that I'm sure you're aware of, and as a business person I'm aware of, is that all of these miles are not free. And that's why I tell folks who don't have some kind of a mileage or points-based card or a cash rebate card, they're funding my travel. Because basically, all of these cards now are costing the merchants more money, so they're having to mark up their product in order to cover that, the cost of doing business.
Yeah, that's right, and that's something else that's maybe going to change. There's one airline out there already, Allegiant, that is offering what they call a discount if you book with a debit card instead of a credit card. And, of course, the debit cards don't carry all the goodies that credit cards do.
So it's absolutely possible that we are going to see more of that in the very near future. I really do think since Southwest went to the revenue method, and this would just absolutely make all the frequent flyer people turn in their bed at night, but I do believe that we will see at least one major airline, when they announce their frequent flyer program for next year, they will announce that it is no longer miles-based, but is based on what you paid, what the credits you get will be based on what you paid for the ticket.
There you go.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm not sure about next year, but soon.
Yeah.
That'll work great for me because I'm always booking at the last minute and paying the most astronomical rate for the airfare.
Well, and so what we're trying to tell people is be smart. If this sounds like something that works for you, do your homework. Look around a little bit. If you can find a credit card and you can qualify for it and you get a big bonus and you can get on your way, why then go for it. But really and truly, it is, we've emphasized for several weeks here, it's not something that's for everyone. And the other reality is that it doesn't turn out to be cash positive for everyone. You can chase that. You can spend so much money chasing that rainbow that the rainbow ends up costing you more than it would if you just paid cash.
That's right, especially if you can get a card that, say, gives you back 2 cents on the dollar.
And at the end of the year, your credit card company sends you $2,500. The other thing, of course, is that people who have the ability to charge large amounts on a card can pile up points without having to play any of these games. If you own a business and you have the ability, your suppliers will allow you to put the things on credit and it's not costing you more money. But more and more in business, we are seeing, as a business owner, I can tell you that we're seeing more and more situations where people are saying, well, if you send us a check, we'll give you a 3% discount. And since I know my points are not worth 3%, unless I'm trying to fly in business class to Ethiopia, which some of these guys are, but if I'm not, why then it really truly is not worth it to me. So, I mean, I use my miles to upgrade domestic travel. I travel a lot. It's more comfortable to travel in the forward cabin, so that's what I use it for. I don't use it for grand trips overseas or, you know, huge vacations or something. It's to make my life a little more pleasant along the way. It's like Summer from Mommy Point said last week. She loves the Hyatt upgrade she gets with the Hyatt credit card because then her family can go and they get a suite. It's an extra room and her kid can run wild and they have a little peace and quiet. So everybody's in the game for something different. Ed, you took your trip of a lifetime last summer. Are you now done from retired from traveling? Have you spent all of those points you had saved up?
Oh, no. I'm one of the people like you that when I ran a small business for a dozen years, I ran everything I possibly could through a credit card, and I'm still burning off the miles we accumulated that way. I got a trip coming up to Europe in business class this April, and I still got quite a few miles left.
No expiration date on those kind of points?
You have to do something, what they call some account activity, but that's pretty simple. If nothing else, you can buy a thousand miles or so for $25, and that resets the meter for another 18 months.
Oh, good. Okay.
There are lots of things you can do to keep the...
That's what keeps Ben Schlopik busy, because his business, like we mentioned earlier in the program, is he knows this stuff, and if you don't want to take the time to find it out for yourself, you can just get a hold of Ben.
You get a hold of Ben, and for $150, he'll either find you the ticket, or if he doesn't, he doesn't charge you. So we've spawned a whole new industry, Ed, from frequent flyerdom. Ed Perkins with smartertravel.com, thank you very much for your time and your expertise. I knew you could pull this all together for us, Ed.
I hope I try it.
Thank you, Ed, and our listeners. I hope that especially you business travelers were seriously enlightened. Now take all of that information, try and consolidate it into something that you can value, you can get out of it. I'm sure you can. Once again, trying to make you help you out to be a smarter traveler with the resources that we have at hand. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
And we love to give you stuff. The other side of the break, we're going to give you a chance to pick up a cheesesteak gift card, $25. All you got to do is give us a call and give us some tips. Your trick on how to sleep on an airplane. How to sleep on an airplane. Your tricks. Everybody's got to have one, okay? The number to call will be 1-800-834-1530. That's 1-800-834-1530. You can call us now, 921-1530 locally, 921-1530 locally. We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, and from time to time you have heard us talk about our friends at Kerry Limousine of Sacramento. Sports Leisure Vacations uses their door-to-door airport service, which is extremely convenient. But, you know, I had an opportunity to use them for, well, my daughter's wedding. And we used Kerry Limousine to take a family over to Napa to do a little wine tasting. And I tell you, you know, the trip was so fabulous because you didn't have to worry about driving. You've got the holidays coming up, and that same situation may be true if you want to take a trip over to San Francisco and maybe do a little shopping. Can you imagine being picked up at your door by the fine folks at Kerry Limousine, take you right on over to the city, drop you off in front of the stores that you want to do your shopping, maybe after that a trip over to Fisherman's Wharf, catch some light looking along the way, and then a leisurely ride home? Or how about right in the Sacramento area? The Kerry Limousine Service has Christmas light looking all in the Sacramento area. So there's another advantage and an opportunity for you to give them a call and take advantage of what they do best, and that is get you out on the road, keep you safe, and give you that special treatment that you so well deserve. And it's certainly worth it. I want to remind you that if you'd like to get a hold of them, give Rick or Ron a call at 485-7268. Tell them Tom and Mark told you to call. Once again, 485-7268 for the best limousine service in town, Kerry Limousine of Sacramento. Mark, are you there?
I am, sir.
We've got a couple of callers that have some great suggestions on to how to sleep on an airplane.
Well, then, before I give them one of my famous lists, let's hear what they have to say. Perhaps they already have some of these suggestions for us.
Okay, let's go to Nancy, line one. Nancy, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, my dear, thank you for joining us. What do you got?
My secret is the must-have black material headbandy glasses things that you wear.
The headbandy glasses. I think she's talking about, you know, eye covers, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I don't wear them often, but when trying to sleep on a plane or a train, that sends a message to other folks, I'm sleeping.
Nancy is right. Those headbandy black things are among the best things to use when you're trying to go to sleep. If you've got some of those little thingies that you crinkle up into your earies and cover up your ear hearing, works too.
Thanks, Nancy. That's a great suggestion. I've never done the eye bandy thing. I do the hat pulled down over the eyes trick.
Oh, see, Ben says he would use his hoodie. I have right here in my briefcase is my pair of black ones, and I even have a designer pair of red ones as an emergency backup.
All right, stay on the line, Nancy. Okay, let's go to Steve and Loomis. Steve, hello, welcome to the program, and what is your secret for sleeping on an airline?
It's a three-part recipe. Before you enter the plane, you put down 6 to 8 turkey sandwiches, 2 pints of beer, and then you put on some Enya music, and night-night.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right. What is that? What does turkey have in it? It has something in it that's supposed to make you drowsy, doesn't it? Tryptophan or something.
The hops and all that, boom, you're out.
Yeah, I guess that would work. Okay, Steve, great suggestion. The only thing that concerns...
Let us hope, Thomas, that Steve has an aisle seat. Because I
was going to say.
I see some need for Steve to get up during the flight. That's just my
sleeping, a lot of getting up. Okay, stay on the line, Steve. Let's go to one more caller. Sharon, thanks for calling, and what is your tip for sleeping on an airplane?
It is a earplugs and an eye mask.
The earplugs, and you're kind of chiming in as to what Nancy said. I have to let me ask you this, Sharon. You got your earplugs and you got your eye mask. Now, my issue is, and Mark, you can probably help out, is that about the time you're ready to fall asleep, you fall forward and wake up. I mean, gravity is never in your favor, it seems, while you're on a plane, unless you're against the, you got the window seat and you can lean it back and get in a position so that you're lean back.
Yeah, if you fly with United, they've got the seats that have the little flaps on them that help some in keeping you, giving something to lean against. But that's where you got to come up with one of those little pillow contraptions or something like that to give you something to lean against that doesn't leave you leaning against the person next to you, which as our caller can certainly attest, is a precious little space. But the iPad, the eyes and the ears are a good place to start.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah. Stay on the line. Mark, you got you had a chance to use that. Did you try that pillow thing that we talked about on the air?
I did, that funny looking pillow that we have, and it actually works, Tom. It's just that everybody in the airplane looks at you really weird when you blow it up and strap it over your seat. They think that you're about to do something that should concern them. So
you felt awkward using it, huh?
Some other things that were suggested quickly on the list here: sit away from the wings in the bathroom. The engines tend to be noisy, and of course, the bathrooms are noisy. Here is a good one. This one I thought: take drugs, use medicinal sleep aids. Another one was take the window seat because you can press yourself against the side. Bring your pillow along with you. Of course, the previously mentioned eye mask and ear mask or some type of noise canceling headphones. Bring your own blanket, because even if the airplane had one, you wouldn't want to use it.
Yeah.
Only bring one carry-on. This is key, because then you put it in up above. It leaves the space down below open, so you have plenty of extra room. And finally, don't order a special meal, because first of all, you probably won't get it anyway, and if you do, they'll wake you up in the middle of your sleeping to deliver the meal. So there you have it.
Those are great. If you do have a suggestion, you'd like to drop it to us, go to travelguysradio.com. Of course, on our website, all of the information about travel is available. Not only that, you can also podcast all the previous programs. Mark, where to next week?
Where to next week? I'll be home. We'll be home and do a show together, and we'll be on the air live next Sunday.
Outstanding. As always, here to make you a smarter traveler, Mark Hoffman from Sports.